Skip Daly has represented residents living in Eastern Sparks and the North Valleys for 8 years non-consecutively in the Nevada Assembly. This year, he once again faces a challenge from Jill Dickman, the Republican who defeated him for a term in 2014. KUNR's Paul Boger spoke with incumbent Democratic Assemblyman Skip Daly about his work in the legislature and his bid for re-election.
You know, what are some of the challenges that are cropping up in District 31, and what are you seeing across the state?
Yeah, well, the challenges facing the state, obviously has been the COVID-19, and that's not just unique to District 31, obviously. And then the slowdown in the unemployment as a result of some of that. But if we're going to try to get the tourism and the leisure back to the state as quickly as we can, I think we have to do that in a responsible way, because it's not just the people in Nevada. It's the visitors that need to feel safe if they're coming here. Otherwise, we could end up with a setback if we become a hotspot and then people don't come, or people have to be quarantined when they go back home. So I think that's the overarching issue right now. And then the repercussions from that are going to be budget shortfalls and how we deal with that, cuts versus looking for new revenue, so we don't to minimize those cuts.
I'm curious to get your take as a state lawmaker. How would you rate the state's response to the pandemic thus far?
Oh, well, everybody's hindsight is 20/20. I think the governor was listening to the best advice and experts that he could reach out to, and then was making a reasoned, logical decision on what the next step was. And I think always with safety of the citizens of Nevada and not having people die from this disease. But overall, I think they were reasoned, logic steps. And then as we came up with new concerns over what happens when people get unemployed and they can't pay their rent, and we had the eviction notices over, and then what happens when unemployment breaks down, right? How do we try to address that, which was part of, the challenges that we all face there? And I think we're finally coming out of that, getting to the end of the backlog there. But overall, I think the governor was making his decisions based on the health and safety of Nevadans first.
Earlier this summer, lawmakers cut hundreds of millions of dollars from the state budget to address a roughly $1.2 billion budget shortfall. Large cuts came out of K-12 education and higher education, as well as Medicaid. What did you think of those remedies to address the shortfall? And what can be done to address those issues in the future?
We've always had these ups and downs based on part of our economy, and I think we've done a pretty good job in the last few years to diversify. So yeah, the system in the special session, was basically similar to a regular session, is that we had a committee. We had the Ways and Means Committee, the people that are most familiar with all of this stuff in both houses, and their staff people, and then the input from people at the highest level and the governor, to try to say, how is it best that we can address these issues? And then, of course, the governor has a recommendation, just like a regular session, and the legislature made some adjustments to those recommendations. And we prioritized the various things between the two houses. We wanted to try to not do everything on the back of state employees. We knew that there was no area of state government that was not going to, that was going to come out of this untouched. And that's the truth of the matter there. So all in all, I think we did a pretty good job to try to keep as much money in the priority areas, health and human services, and some of the cuts to mental health and those types of things are brutal. It's unfortunate, but it was necessary to balance the budget per the state constitution. So going forward, obviously, when we come back next session, we go through that process again, the usual thing. And in the meantime, I'm hoping we can, find ways to shore up the shortfalls with additional revenue. And there'll be a myriad of proposals and things that could be out there. Do I have any specific idea or what it will be? I do not. I know there's talks with the mining industry right now, and there were the three resolutions passed in the second special session.
Those were kind of the key areas that Democratic leaders look to for possible new revenue in the future. Would you support or oppose those increases on mining?
The three resolutions, if eventually is going to go and have a vote of the people. So I think, you know, the three resolutions that were put in, so we have options as the negotiations go forward. And I think that talks with the mining industry on where they can find a measure that they can support, I think will be the key to making that happen. Because if mining is, in support of it, being the industry that's going to be taxed, and it can get through the next session to get on the ballot without opposition, it's got a pretty good chance of passing. It's just a matter of finding that right balance that can not make everybody happy necessarily, but can, satisfy the needs of all concerned.
On that same front, there has been this ongoing conversation for years, from what I understand, of possibly revisiting the state's property tax structure. At this point, would you support going into the session, looking at property taxes?
Well, I would say it this way: if you did a man on the street question and you talked to 100 people, I don't care what city in the state of Nevada you're in, you asked them, do they understand, or could they even explain to you on a baseline level of how property tax works in Nevada? I would challenge you to get three people that could answer that question. We have a terribly complicated system. We have limitations, artificial limitations that we have put in through legislation, like the $3.66 cap on the per $100 of value versus the $5 constitutional limit. We only tax on assessed value rather than market value. We have the depreciation provisions that basically create sprawl. So a house in the older part of town where I live that's fully depreciated pays a lot less tax than a new house out in Wingfield Springs. Those all things need to be addressed, and I think should be made more equitable on some levels. But as soon as you say, property tax, people go into a tailspin, largely because they don't understand how it already works and that there could be benefits by some revisions and modernization in changing the way it's calculated in the first place. So, and I think it would be more equitable, actually, to do that. You just have to get past people's phobia of even discussing it.
Nevada's K-12 system has consistently ranked among the lowest in the country. As a lawmaker, you've been in these sessions talking about these educational issues. What needs to be done at this point? What should lawmakers be doing to improve the state's public schools?
Well, we're on the track of making some significant improvements. Clear back to my first session when there was a bill put in by then Assemblywoman Debbie Smith, who went on to be senator, to make sure we have a quality teacher in every classroom. And there was a peer review system that was set up. There was some resistance to that. But I think now that it's in place, the various things we have a better process to make sure we have a quality teacher in every classroom, and that we're giving them the tools they need to be successful. And if they're not measuring up, it's easier to have that teacher replaced. And then we did some of the per pupil funding in the Zoom schools, and we learned, I think the legislature over a period of time, is that we can't just give money to the school boards. And so we earmarked it to say, hey, we need to make sure that we're not leaving any students behind. So there was funding to get extra teachers in the classroom if there were at-risk students for a variety of reasons, whether it was a language issue or a disability issue. Also tried to change what we do to meet the gifted and talented needs. So we're taking care of all of the students, regardless of their academic level. And I think we were on track to do that. And we got, I think there's a direct correlation, same as almost any other profession. You get what you pay for. And I think teachers are underpaid. We worked really hard last session to try to increase that pay. And then the cuts came and we slid back a little bit on that. So I think if we can get some of those things and you actually get the new funding formula that we put in, which I think can work, funded at the proper levels and that we can make significant progress. But we've got to stick to the effort and stay the course and not give up and just say, well, we haven't made any improvements. So see, it was all for nothing. And I have a different attitude is you have to continually push to make the changes that you're fighting for. And if we do that, I think we can be successful.
You know, at this point, I'm curious, you know, what do you think voters should know about you as a candidate or as a person before they cast their ballot?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's an interesting thing. You run a whole campaign trying to get information out to the voters. So it's not just one thing, but I think if I had to narrow it down to one thing is that, you know, I'm going to try to be as thoughtful and careful about the decisions that are made, get as much information as we can. And I've said this to people at the door, get information from all sides. And then when you're making your decision, try to do it in a fashion where you're going to help the most amount of people the most amount of the time, do the most amount of good for as many people as you can. And usually if you're making that decision based on that, you're going to come out okay. So be thoughtful and try to, you know, make the best decision that you can.
That was KUNR's Paul Boger speaking with Skip Daly, who is running against former Republican Assemblywoman Jill Dickman. KUNR has repeatedly reached out to Dickman for an interview. She has not responded.